Have you got game? The Mowdown.
This is Got Game. My name is Moman Qureshi, Patrick Lucchini, Christine Chubb, Steve Lung. With me around our tableau. Isn't tableau like a form of art?
Acting? It's yes. Like I'm just going to say yes.
It's like a form of acting or mime or something?
I think so. I think you just like kind of freeze.
When you tableau, you freeze, yeah. Right. Freeze frame!
Well, I'm not very keen on improv, apparently.
When I say tableau, you all stop on a dime. When I say tableau... No.
All right. Stop.
No.
All
right. I almost got right into it, and I was like, no. That's not how this is ending.
Christine does not want to encourage my ways.
That's not how this year is ending, man. Yeah.
All right, so
this is the end of the year. Jesus.
End of the year!
Yeah, it is our year in review show. It is the last few days of 2016. That's not right.
Well, 2015.
Yeah, it's the last few days of 2015. Damn. 2016 has it. What would you do if you turn on this podcast and it was the last few days of 2016? Scare the hell out of you.
What happened?
I guess that would have meant that we've all missed Uncharted 4.
Moment would have lost his mind.
I'm sad now.
If we all walked out from a vault, it would have been appropriate.
See what you did there? Fallout 4?
Coming around. So what we're going to do in the show is we're all going to look back and pick our favorite games of the year, ones that we enjoyed the most, maybe talk a bit about disappointments and letdowns, review things that happened. You can follow along at GotGame590 on the Twitter, if you'd like.
Do it.
But let's begin. Patrick.
Right off the bat, we're starting. Okay.
Let's just do it.
Yeah. I'm going to start out with my low light of the year, allowing Patrick to be a permanent member of the show. It's a big mistake. We shouldn't have done it. It happened over the summer, and frankly, I've regretted it ever since.
That's true.
Even more than allowing me to crash the party.
Way more.
Oh, no, we like you.
Way more.
Yeah. I'm disappointed in you guys for letting me.
I have to say that 2015, obviously, we had a lot of big changes in the show.
Huge.
Yeah.
You know, now we're a podcast. Mm-hmm. We are Calhoun down, but Patrick up. We've kind of expanded ourselves to the social media world. If you have not checked out our YouTube page, you should do it because someone has been doing some wonderful things.
Christine Chubb.
I think that we've obviously switched over a little bit. We're a little more conversational and lighthearted. We don't do as much news as we used to, but I think that that's good.
A little
good.
Bit more pop culture
and stuff on.
Yeah. Well,
how do people find us on YouTube, Christine? Where do they look?
They can
on
search,
YouTube. I'm assuming
they go to YouTube and they can search GotGame590, all one word, and we will pop up. We should pop up at the top. It's
literally in your house. Will pop up as you search it
in your house. We don't have a specific like name where it's like YouTube/GotGame.
Yeah,
not yet.
We're working on it.
We could.
Our YouTube channel is quickly becoming a very fun place to be.
Look out, Superwoman. We're coming for you.
Yep.
No. But anyway, go on. But you've been putting up some of the highlights of our shows and different videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, just going through, trying to make it an active and fun place to be. And frankly, it's just kind of like a neat little chore that I decided I was going to do. I was like, I got some free time. You've been doing a great job.
It's been cool. We definitely went through some major changes this year and changed up our format and stuff, and we're still chugging along doing some fun stuff. Steve's kind of a regular guy on our show now. Patrick's here every week.
The blog is also doing well.
The blog is back alive. Our Twitter account's a little bit more active.
It's alive!
Yeah. We'll try to kick up the Instagram maybe in the new year a little bit more.
It's like the Phoenix.
Yeah, GotGame590 on Instagram as well, and check it all out. And
of course, on Twitter. We're still on Twitter.
Definitely. That's still there. Gave away a lot of stuff this year.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy, did we.
We were very generous.
Very much so. But Patrick, let's look back at 2015.
At 2015.
All right. So what were your highlights?
Besides joining the Got Game show and being able to look at your lovely faces every Saturday morning.
Which is when we record,
FYI, because I know you're listening to this on Tuesday. Are we doing games first?
We're going to do whatever you want.
Should we do games, man.
You're on the lead.
First? Okay, let's do games first.
This is what happens when you put Patrick at the lead of the show. Problems.
Well, I don't want to go off with low lights and, you know, ruin
everyone's
mood,
right?
So let's keep it happy.
Positive.
Yeah, positive happiness. Number 5 on my list of most fun games I experienced during the year of 2015.
I feel like we need the big voice guy.
Number five is Total War Attila.
Hey.
Oh, really?
Yes. That game, when it was released, was what Rome 2 should have been when it was released, but they screwed it up royally. It was a lot of fun. It was a very atmospheric game. it transported me back to an era where obviously I did not live because it was so long ago. But it added some great new game mechanics to the Total War series. It was just, it half made me sad because I was like, man, this is what Rome 2 should have been. And I have such a love affair with Rome 2 that that's what I wanted. So I just wanted to like, okay, well, can I like go back in time and use this? And I can't. It kind of makes me sad, but I had a lot of fun playing that game. That's number five for me.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is Fallout 4.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. I was very bummed out with some of the stuff they removed from it. Like, you know, conversations in the game now seem extremely linear, and that I could pick sarcastic or positive or negative and we'd get the same result in the conversations. And this is a Fallout game where what you do affects the world. And I didn't really feel like it had that happens.
Yeah.
That being said, I still had so much fun with this game, and I still do, and I still go back to it. And, you know, I could gripe about certain points of the game, but at the end of the day, when I go home, I'm like, man, I really want to fire up some Fallout 4 right now. And that's what makes a game good.
Yeah.
The fact that I don't think about playing the game and groan and go, I don't want to play this, but I have to. Or now it's like sitting on my shelf collecting dust, you know?
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with it, and there is so much to explore in that game that I'll never get bored of it. So I hope. I hope I'll never get bored of it. Number three on my list. I'm totally spacing right now on my third game. Oh my god!
I didn't play Totally Spacing. Did you?
No,
no.
It was good though.
Sounds pretty good,
only?
Right?
Yeah.
It was a PlayStation exclusive though. That's why I didn't play.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah, you said PlayStation
okay. Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yay.
Wait, Unity.
Syndicate.
Yeah. God, not Unity. No, Syndicate. Assassin's Creed Syndicate. This game, I was just talking about with Christine earlier. Was so much fun, and it was such a beautiful world to be a part of, and everything you did in the game mattered in terms of the overall story, and the story itself was great.
And Patrick fell in love with Evie.
And I fell in love with Evie because she's so cool, and it wasn't Unity.
Did you play the Ripper DLC?
I haven't yet, but you know what? I want to get it, and I want to play it again, and I haven't completely finished everything in Assassin's Creed, and it's a game that Syndicate is a game that I want to go back and finish everything on. Yeah. Similar to Fallout 4, I want to go back and finish absolutely everything in that game. And it was a lot of fun to play, and I haven't played an Assassin's Creed game in a long time.
Yeah.
And it makes me want more, to be honest with you. So yeah. And I know I'll probably get more because, come on, Assassin's Creed, right? It's like every year, so I'm sure I'm going to get another one. Let's just hope it's not Unity 2 or something.
They hopefully have learned their lesson.
Yeah, yeah. Number two on my list is... I don't know if we should do drum rolls. No, let's not do drum rolls.
Oh,
I don't want you to go for it. Is The Witcher 3.
Nice!
Oh, yes. Good, very nice. Wild good pick.
What can I say about The Witcher 3 that hasn't already been said?
It's The Witcher.
Yeah.
It's The Witcher on steroids.
It is. It's just, like, every game has to have weather effects in it now. Like, if I'm walking through a forest and there isn't, like, blistering wind blowing through the trees and rain, then I'm, like, I'm unimpressed at this point. I'm like, what is this? I'm really bored with this. Like, why isn't there wonderful environments that I can walk through? This game was so pretty, and the storyline was great.
Yeah.
And... open world games, you're very used to being your own character. Fallout 4, a great example of that. Mm-hmm. You build your own guy and you're like, oh, I'm going to make this guy really good. I'm going to make him evil and he's going to eat the bodies. He's going to cannibalize people. Or, you know, like, you can make it your own. It's an open world game, but everyone's Geralt. But that's not a detriment to the game. Like, he has such a cool storyline. And they do such a good job of executing the storyline in this game that I didn't care about character creation or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was just so good.
Yeah.
And so that leaves me with number one.
Do you want a drum roll?
Number one.
Do you want a drum roll?
Nah.
No?
No. My excuse me, I'm choking because I'm so excited.
I'm just going to put down my drumsticks and leave my snare alone. Then.
Number one game of the year is Bloodborne.
Oh, really?
Is Bloodborne.
Oh, really?
That's high up on my list as well. It's pretty high up on my list.
Bloodborne is a game. And, like,
I don't think people remember. If people don't remember, you wanted to smash your controller several times.
Oh, I wanted to just cry. But after taking, like a week off of it, I wanted to go back and play it again.
Yeah.
And so I did. And I had just as much fun. And, you know, I have to go review another game. And when that's done, I want to play more Bloodborne. And the DLC came out. I haven't bought it yet, but I want to buy the DLC and play more Bloodborne. That's the one game that I keep wanting to go back to this year.
Yeah.
Like, over and over again, oh, I got to play more Bloodborne, And it's extremely frustrating to play. But
like, it mainly rewards, like, player skill.
Yes.
It's never the game's fault. It's always your fault if you mess up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Combat systems in other games are great. The Witcher 3, for example. You can be bad at that game and you'll suffer from it.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 doesn't really matter. You'll get through the game. There are games where you can just kind of half-ass it and you'll be fine in terms of, like, a storyline. Bloodborne, if you don't adapt to this game, if you don't get good, you won't progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it rewards you playing the game over and over and over again and going into new situations and, you know, really thinking about what to do next and really thinking about, how do I approach this differently? How can I beat this next boss after learning everything else and throwing all that out the window because this guy does something completely different from everything else?
Yeah.
And it was just such a good game. Mm. Like, it was like, you know, a classic video game that has things you have to do and you have to be good at it in order to get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just really hard to explain other than it was a video game that was awesome, you know?
I think that's going to be high up on a lot of people's lists because I think we're sort of cursed in the sense that sometimes we forget games that came out earlier in the year, and that came out it was early on.
It was February, wasn't it?
It was early in the year.
February,
yeah.
March.
And,
yeah.
So I think it's people forget sometimes even that it was this year. They think it might have been last year. But
yeah.
I think that's a game that's going to be high up in a lot of people's lists. So.
Yeah. I mean, like, you play, like, Grand Theft Auto. And
that was this year, too, wasn't it? Or was that last year?
No, Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PC and on next gen was this year.
Yeah.
Which
should be 2015. I don't remember what happened.
Which, you know, made Grand Theft Auto pretty and gave
GTA
it first person.
GTA 5 first person was pretty cool.
First person, which was pretty awesome. But that game, you don't have to be good.
No,
you can just progress through the story. You just keep doing it, you know. But, like, Bloodborne, you have to adapt. It's like a living thing that you're playing. And it's just, it was just so good. And I just can't wait for Dark Souls 3 because I can't wait to punch more holes in my walls.
that was the game Dark Souls 2 where you were like, you were frustrated.
Wasn't that was the game
you
that broke
cry?
Me. It broke me.
Broke your soul.
I played it for my birthday and I was like, this is the worst birthday
this is the worst birthday ever.
I was so angry.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, honorable mentions, I have to say, go to, there are a couple of games that I wanted to play more of. Rocket League, gets a huge honorable mention.
Like, I think that's going to top a lot of people's
like, it's like 5.5.
Have you tried the hockey mode yet?
Huh?
Have you tried the hockey
mode
yet?
No, I haven't yet. No.
There's a hockey mode for Rocket
League? Yeah, there's a hockey
mode. They have a lot of DLC now for it.
It's like, it's incredibly similar to the soccer ball. It's just a little bit more difficult because of the way the physics of the hockey
cool.
puck. Like people are making the hockey puck like knuckle puck right now instead of like getting a slap shot,
Is Rocket League online only or can you play local multiplayer? Do you know? How do you guys know?
I've never tried local.
You can play split screen, I'm pretty sure.
You can play split screen?
I can't remember. I don't know.
I don't download that.
You can.
During the Christmas break.
You can play split screen.
Yeah. I'm gonna download that.
But, I mean, and it was free for a while this year.
Yeah.
And then it just caught fire. And
yeah, on PlayStation Plus, that's how I ended up getting it.
I will put it out there that to me is far and away the surprise hit of the year. Like
for
the
sure.
surprise
yep.
of the year yep. in terms of gaming is Rocket League. That thing
100%.
Became a phenomenon this year.
Yeah. Yeah, if we had a category for surprise of the year, it's Rocket League.
Well, I just created it. It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
And I
so surprise of the year for God Game.
Rocket League.
Rocket League. That game was a lot of fun.
Because I just remember over the summer, like, it just came out of nowhere, and like my Twitter feed was full of people like sharing like videos of Rocket League and pictures of Rocket League and talking about Rocket League and
squatting up. Yeah. Like my buddies and I, like we would just go on. It's like, hey, let's get a team going together, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And we get stomped occasionally. We mostly lost.
Yeah.
But when you score goals, you're doing crazy stuff all around. It's a great feeling.
Well, I'll never forget that my first kind of wind of it was one day we came in to tape our show and Brian Calhoun came in and he's like, I got to show you this goal I scored in Rocket League. He's going to show the goal he scored in what now? And then he shows me this video of like trucks driving around, knocking around a soccer ball.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what the hell game this is, but I really want to play it because it seems amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, Rocket League gets an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 10 for me as well gets an honorable
mention. Yeah, Mortal Kombat.
Because it brought me back to, you know, good Mortal Kombat too.
Good, dirty, violent Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's a fun game to play with friends who are over at your house or something. So.
You bet.
It's also a pretty good competitive game.
It is, yes.
Nothing
but
makes you a better host than ripping out somebody's spine.
Exactly, yeah. And, I mean, I tried to go online, and I can't do it anymore. No. Because it's been such a long time for people online to get really good that I join, and I get comboed to death.
You can't catch up.
I can't catch up at this point. So,
all right. So that's
the combos are pretty easy.
I can't do it.
Wow, Steve,
Steve's throwing the gauntlet. He's throwing the gauntlet.
The studio,
I'll let him take it too because I can't beat him.
Trash talks you.
I know I can't beat him.
It's pretty easy, Patrick. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. You suck, you noob.
Yeah.
So
I've been playing fighting games for a very long time.
Yeah,
like a very very long.
So yeah, Mortal Kombat 10.
A real fight in the studio right now.
Yeah. Honorable mention.
Just while you're up there.
Yeah. ABAB up down.
Yeah.
I don't know what that does.
I don't know.
So yeah,
something.
So that's my list. That's my list of top five games plus some honorable mentions.
All right.
Who wants to go next?
Or
do we talk about disappointments? Do we do that?
Yeah. What game disappointed you the most?
There's a couple of reviews you had where you weren't too happy with games.
Yeah. You know what? A game that probably disappointed me the most. Oh, jeez. Something that I was really excited about was Battlefront.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was gonna say the same thing actually.
Seeing all that, you know, it's just good, but it's not great. It hurts my soul.
Yeah, it's like I said when I first reviewed it with you guys. Like the game is very fun, and I do find myself going back and playing, getting a few games because you know it's fun getting into an X-wing and just like shooting stuff, right? But at the same time, it just lacks the depth that you would think a DICE product would have, right? Because I'm thinking back to like the old Battlefield games. Like I'm particularly thinking back to Battlefield 2, right? Like I'm thinking like this is going to be that level of scope, that level of attention to detail, that kind of gameplay. It just didn't deliver that.
Kind of mailed it in almost. Kind of like Peter Dinklage in
Destiny.
The Jakku map is cool though.
I imagine, yeah. I haven't played it yet, but. But yeah, that's probably one of the disappointments. I mean, there were controversies, especially in the PC world, like Batman being so crap that they had to pull it off
the PC. They pulled it off the shelf.
Yeah, that
they
was definitely
like, nope.
One of the highlight lowlights of the year.
Yeah.
Same with the PC port for Mortal Kombat. Like,
yeah,
that
PC port was horrible.
A ton of people in the FGC were just like...
Yeah.
Like so incredibly angry at how bad the online, just how bad the port was.
It's a bad year for PC ports.
Yeah,
Batman Fallout 4 PC port is just
that.
It looks good, but the controls are just
so Batman. Hard. I remember because Arkham Knight came out and it was getting really solid reviews on the Xbox and PlayStation, and then the PC was just. Well, I mean, the only word you can use was a disaster.
It was a disaster. Yeah. It was so bad they pulled it off of Steam.
For six months. Yeah. They were like, we have to fix this.
For six months. Like, they buy the game, and then all of a sudden, it'll come out in October.
Yeah. That wasn't even like a patch can fix this. That was like, we need 6 months to fix this.
So much so that the reviews on Steam that it was crap, they had to change to pre-release.
Yeah.
But it was release. Yeah. It wasn't a beta.
Yeah.
But it should have been, but it wasn't. And, like, that was pretty bad. Also with Steam, what the hell were they thinking trying to get us to pay for mods?
Yeah.
That came out, and that was like that was pretty. That was a pretty upsetting.
It goes against the entire spirit of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like the most popular game in Valve's history, with like a Half-Life, like Counter-Strike, a mod spawned from Half-Life.
Yeah.
So like
this is a modding. This is Steam is very. Yeah. Like, the PC world. Is very much a giant modding community.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why I play PC games.
That's what DayZ was, right?
DayZ, yeah, it was a mod. Yeah, mod of Arma 2. Yeah. And to have Bethesda even jump on that bandwagon, have Skyrim as one of the options to have payable mods, it didn't catch on. It was cut pretty fast because everyone was mad. In reality, you didn't have to pay for the mod, so it wasn't like that big of a deal, and it wasn't a vast majority of mods that were payable, but to create that environment was a huge mistake on Steam's part, and I'm glad they kind of reset that, but that was another downer for me as well.
All right.
But, I mean, as in terms of games I played, the only really times I had to get on a soapbox during this year was for day one DLC stuff. That's pretty much it. So stop it! Stop it with the day one DLC.
The season pass.
Stop. Yeah.
The season pass is ridiculous.
Battlefront! Seriously? Come on. Like, what the hell was that? Like, that's just adds to the disappointment of the game. You're going to come out with something that isn't very exciting after 10 hours, and you expect me to dish out 130. I'm not going to get into this.
All right. Pat, you feel better?
Yeah, I feel good.
Okay, good.
Feel good.
All right. You're looking forward to your first full year of Got Game?
Yeah!
Patrick's this excited, and we're going to find out we're canceled tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Like, no one Patrick? Will want to listen to me alone.
Yes, so at least he has to do E3, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's been to E3 before. He's been.
Oh. Yeah, I've been
he's
to been.
He went to a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Christine, you want to go next, or what do you want to do?
Sure.
All right.
I can go next.
Yay.
Yay me. All right. This year, number one game was really easy for me.
Like, you're going top down?
No, I'm just saying.
I think I know what it is.
I'm just saying. I'm prefacing. And that, in my top five list, there literally was nothing that really came close to the number one game.
Hmm.
So, number one was
what it
was. Everything else was kind of
below it. I think I
kind of
know.
Do you?
All right.
I kind of know.
Number five.
Yeah, I think I know what it is, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Number five is the first time I'm putting something for the phone on my list.
Oh, really?
Fallout Shelter.
Oh, my God. Yes, yes. You're right.
So
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
I literally play it every day. Yeah. It has become my everyday game. I have made and destroyed so many shelters in my
life. My goodness. You so heartless.
I am a brutal overlord at times.
Yikes.
There's been times where I didn't like people in my shelter, and I just sent them into the wasteland with nothing so they can die.
She's either a brutal...
Have you done that to the pets? The poor, unfortunate pets?
Well, no, I'm never going to be mean to the pets. The pets are fine.
She's either a brutal overseer or just an average Vault Tech employee.
I love this game. I thought that from day one, when they announced it at E3, saying, by the way, you can play it right now. I literally downloaded it that second and started playing it. And they've updated it since then, and the updates are only making it more fun. I love that they do seasonal things for it. Excuse me. It's not super long. Well, I guess it's as long as you want to be, but that's fine. I build my vault up to 200 people and merriment. I still have yet to get it to, 100% happiness.
That's tough.
I've got to 94.
Is it actually possible?
Everybody has to make sure everyone has sex. Everybody has to be in their right locations. Everybody has to be leveled up the right amount. And there
babies.
Has to be a lot of babies.
Yeah.
And that I've never been able to do it, but it seems like it's been a long time where any kind of game on my phone had me this entertained.
Yeah.
And it was when I went to Europe and I had to take it off to get more space on my phone, I was so sad. But then I thought, I'll have to recreate new vaults. It'll be wonderful. I'll be an overlord. It'll be wonderful. So sometimes I don't kill everybody, but most of the time I do.
Good pick. Good pick.
So
that was
my number five because it was just fun.
Yeah. Solid pick.
Number four, because it seemed to be the year of serial games, was Life is Strange. Life is Strange did not have fantastic controls, but I loved the story.
Yeah, the narrative was fantastic. That ending was like weird.
It was so, but you like It was so good. Like the fact that you could swirl back and forth a time, like it kind of took.
I gotta play this game, man. I've
it heard took the concept of linear storytelling and really like swirled it around a little bit. Where you know, what was real, what was not? How do you make this happen? How do you change this from happening? And I liked that the story still continued even if you didn't do all of the things.
Yeah, and that replay mechanic. Well, yeah. that's like the main mechanic of the game.
Yeah,
but like there are a lot of people who play narrative games and they regret their choices instantly, mm-hmm. right? So like, hey, let's replay this right now. But then it kind of like I kind of felt like it kind of turns that on its head because you sometimes have to progress through episodes by replaying certain things and doing other actions. Yeah. So you're still not really so like that choice you may have changed it, but like you kind of had to change it. So it kind of flips that on its head where people are just doing things because they want to do it.
Yeah.
And then this is still the main character story, mm-hmm. like her story,
yeah.
not your story.
And I'd like too that you didn't always have to. You had the ability to rewind whenever you wanted to. And you didn't always have to meet and talk to people. You didn't always have to make the right choices. And what you did would affect the story. Like, it was one of those things where if you didn't help What's-Her-Face in the washroom, or if you let, obviously you couldn't let the other girl jump off the building, spoilers, but
blah, 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 blah,
it's fine. It's very early on in the game. But you can do things like, you know, you don't have to talk to everybody in the hallways. You don't have to talk to everybody when you go down the stairs. You don't have to talk to everybody at the diner. You don't have to talk to anybody. You know, you kind of have the option to which storylines you want to pursue and which you don't.
But if
unless
cool.
they're part of the linear story.
But it's cool if you do talk to everyone. And that's the color of the game.
Absolutely.
Right? Because all the characters, like, it's kind of odd because like you don't really associate Square Enix with like incredibly deep characters at all.
No,
right? But
except
I guess because this is more Eidos.
Yeah,
like each NPC is more fleshed out, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to then just like a generic quest giver with a question mark or exclamation mark on their head.
Yeah. I felt like this game was more of an RPG than a lot of other games that I've played this year, where it was just the storytelling was just so point on. And like I said, not always is the game mechanics that great, but 100% makes up for it with story.
It really reminded me of Dreamfall, of the Longest Journey, and like the sequel Dreamfall, like of like older adventure games, which I really really enjoyed.
I think if you haven't played this game, you should definitely play it. Like, mm-hmm. there's a reason it's on my top five because it's so. It's just so interesting, and it's a nice take on a serial game, because we've seen a lot of them. Like, Telltale started churning them out like crazy this year. Yeah. And so, you know, check it out. Do it. You know, look it up. Number three is Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Obviously, the hype machine was really big, and it was never going to live up to the expectations I had. But
just imagine if it did.
If it did, that would be amazing.
Our top five list would be Fallout 4.
Yeah, it would be like nothing. No other games happened this year, just this one. But I just, the crafting system and the fact that you could create your own town.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, I literally could spend the entire game on that.
Yeah.
Like, somebody made that joke on social media that really, next, the Bethesda is just going to give you the base model of what could be a Fallout game, and you have to build it yourself, people would love it.
Yeah.
I thought that the storyline was interesting, but it felt like the storyline was very separate from the world that you were in. There wasn't a lot of, except for the fact that it led you to the finale, but I thought really just for the crafting alone, this game was phenomenal. And when I talk to people, that's what they talk to me about. They're like, I spent 20 hours building this. And it's like, this is amazing to me that this is what Fallout has become, where it's like, let's see how it's no longer about survival, it's about creation, which is kind of funny since you live in the world of Fallout and everything is destroyed. You finally get to actually create the things around you. And where obviously it had a lot of faults still when it came to the graphics and when it came to some of the gameplay mechanics, it's Fallout. I mean, it's always going to have a place in my heart. And it was, like I said, it was never going to live up to what it was going to be in my head. And I just had, once I accepted that, it was kind of like, let's see it for what it was. And it was fun. It was Fallout. We said during our reviews as well, I played that game for like 20 hours during Extra Life. And I still went home and played more of it because I was just like, I got to play more. I got to finish this one quest I was doing. I want to search this part of the map. I want to do this. Yeah. Like, and that's really the sign of a good game for me is when you want to go back and play it more and play it more and play it more. Number two, Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
I don't know what number one is. Number one's obvious then.
I finally got to play Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and it's only a recent purchase, but I have played it almost exclusively since it has come out. I am so happy that this is the direction that Ubisoft took this game. I'm like so happy that it went back to linear. It got rid of all the gobbledygook.
Got rid of all the Unity.
I was so happy that I loved Jacob and Evie Fry. Mm-hmm. I thought both of them were very complimentary to each other. I loved Jacob and his personality. I loved Evie and her wiliness. I loved all of the side characters that you could see. I loved London. I love that everything seemed to have a purpose.
Yeah.
Like, all of your side missions were actual characters. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, well, here's a random group of people you'll never meet again. Do something for them. These were, like, actual characters and people. Mm-hmm. It made me feel so immersed in London.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. Like, even things like the fight clubs seemed like things that would exist. Mm-hmm. Even the placement on the map seemed like it was the right place for these things to be. I loved exploring London, especially because I had just gone there this year. I loved the zip line was a fantastic mechanic because I am
like Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I'm a person who loves when I play assassins, I live on the rooftops. Yeah. I hardly ever run around. And I was just like zipping here and zipping there and doing this and doing that and flying up the side of the buildings. It was so fast. The fighting mechanics in this game were so quick.
Yeah.
And brutal, like when you were slicing people's heads off, and
using
like
that
this
cane
is...
was brutal, eh?
And I was so happy we didn't go through the first 2 hours of the game having to relearn all about the Creed. Like I played 6,000 Assassin's Creed games now.
I know half of them.
I know what the Templars and the Assassins are. Yeah. I get their thing. I don't need to relive the entire thing
over again. There was just enough in the storyline to get me through it.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing everything, but not too much that it would annoy diehard fans like you.
Yeah, because that's always the problem, is that the first few hours of the game are always relearning things that I already know. It's like, I get it, Abstergo, I get it. This, I mean, it was interesting when they finally changed up what Abstergo was after they ended the Desmond storyline, but... And I agreed with you when you reviewed it, saying that when you did jump to the future, it was kind of like...
Go away,
I don't
future.
Need to know. I don't care anymore. I just want to live in the world.
It's like they needed a Desmond.
Yeah.
As soon as that finished, I stopped caring. I don't care. Like,
I would agree with you there. It was one of those things where I felt that that story was done.
Yes. Yes,
like, I didn't need it to expand anymore. I mean, it was kind of interesting, like I said, when they went back in the last game, in Black Flag, to see what Abstergo actually had become and what they were doing with all of this. But I didn't care anymore. I don't need to see any more. That storyline can end. It just needs to be Christine running around, Templars, assassins, doing their things.
It didn't help that they named the person in the future as just operative or whatever. Yeah. They don't even name the person.
You don't have a name.
So they don't care. So, why would you, right?
That's exactly right. But I was so happy that this was linear and that the map isn't spattered with garbage and that you don't have side things on your phone and unlockable this and friends of that. I'm like, no.
No more Unity.
I loved having the rooks. I loved having people to beat things up for me. I was so happy and so involved.
Yeah.
And I felt like... Once I started playing it and saw what it could have been, I was like, I didn't realize how much I missed the old style of Assassin's Creed until I played this.
Best Creed game in years?
Absolutely. I would say it is, and that's saying a lot because I loved Black Flag and I wanted to get back on ships and do all that exciting thing. But just going like bare bones back to good storytelling, back to fun characters, back to interesting environments, back to the roots of what Assassin's Creed is. And I love the train. You drive around on a train. Like, everything about it was like, yep, I'm so happy I played this game. I was thrilled. I was so happy, and I hope that this is the way that Assassin's games go from now on.
And number one, I think I know what it is. But
I think I know because Momo keeps saying he thinks he knows, so I think I know what it is too. But
if it's not what I think it is, I'll be very, very surprised.
Number one has to be, hands down, The Witcher 3.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's fine.
To me, this game, there was nothing else in comparison. Like, even as much as I just gushed about Assassins, it's not even close to how much I love The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
200 hours of gameplay! I'm still not finished with it, and this game came out at the start of the year!
How many hours of gameplay do you have?
I have not! That's the thing, I'm even on the main story!
And then there's more DLC
coming too.
There's
two DLC packs that I haven't touched yet.
How many hours have you sunk into it?
I don't even know anymore. I honest to God, I don't even know.
Doesn't matter, really.
Yeah. I love Geralt of Rivia. I love that I didn't have to know really anything about this series and jump in. This has set the bar so high for what RPG should be on the next-gen system. It worked. It was fun. Mm-hmm. You riding your horse into the bloody sunset was the most beautiful thing I have ever seen.
Yep.
This game visually was...
Knocked your socks off.
It really did. Yeah. It was so good. I love the storyline. The only fault to this game was that the controls were a little touchy, which was a little irritating. I banged into walls a lot. The horse sometimes would ride into rivers.
I encountered that a lot playing on the PC version, actually.
Yeah.
So much so that I needed to take down my mouse sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm so used to playing first person shooters in RTS.
Yeah, you need it.
Where just I need be able to move really, really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for this game, whoa, easy there, buddy.
Yeah. It was so funny because right in the start of the game, it says something like, try not to bump into people in your town or they'll be mad at you. And I bump into people all of the time.
Christine's pissing everyone
because
off
because I can't help it. It's just it's so sensitive.
Because Christine doesn't give a crap. Yeah. Man, get out of my way.
I don't. I always think about when I was reviewing this and Calhoun was making fun of me because I was talking about looting. And I'm like, that's all I do in games like this. I steal from everybody. And he was like, that's really what you get out of these games? Hells yeah! You go and you steal things, you find things.
Yeah, man.
I love that this game surprised me at almost every corner. I was fighting mystical creatures. I'm looking around at this. I'm discovering towns. The cities are massive.
Like, even just walking through farmland.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Mm. Yeah.
I found myself stop sometimes to just take in the scenery.
You know? I would 100% do that. If I went on the top of a cliff or if I was walking into a city or if I was even, like you said, just in a little farm town, you just kind of look around and it's so immersive and it's so pretty. And I found that it really interwove the fantasy world with a generic walk around kind of RPG where, sure, you would be doing sometimes just little fetch quests or you'd be doing escort missions, and then sometimes you would be fighting griffins, or you would be taking down all of these weird wraith-type things.
The way they did their quests, the world was so open.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that's what BioWare was attempting with Dragon Age. And Inquisition, they accomplished it for the most part.
Yeah,
Dragon Age was very close to
Lux. It's just what The Witcher 3 did, it just took it to... Mm-hmm. They just did it at a much, much grander scale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think they could do that just because of Geralt.
Yeah.
Because it isn't just a random person that you're creating yourself as the Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. Geralt is his own character.
So you're
playing his story.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of fun to think, well, I don't want to think about what I would do. I want to think, what would Geralt do?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I would agree there. And I found it especially because you can pick and choose conversations where you could be a jerk, you could be a money-grabbing witcher, or you could be empathetic. And that would also, that would affect things, as we talked about how you affect the environment.
Yeah.
It was so good. And I remember seeing this at E3 a few years ago, and I saw the trailer going in, and I thought, there's absolutely no way this game is going to look as beautiful when it comes out at launch.
I know, because that happens to so many games.
So many games!
But this was the trailers are the game. That's what you're buying, guys.
It 100% was.
Yeah.
And the quest lines were long and beautiful and interesting, and even some of the smaller characters had really fascinating stories, and everybody you meet had there was so much detail in this game, and it was so fascinating and interesting. And you walk around and you enjoy, and you could evolve your character in interesting ways, and you could mess around with different weapons, and they would play differently. And to me, hands down, this was absolutely my game of the year.
Yeah, and I don't think you're alone in that opinion. A lot of people feel that way.
No. Yep.
All right, Christy.
There you go.
Two Fallout games in the top five. How do you like that?
What are your disappointments?
I'm also very disappointed in Star Wars. Like, womp. I wanted Star Wars to be good.
Christine
wanted to play it.
Real bad.
I wanted single player so bad. I'm also a little disappointed, and I knew it was going to be super expensive, but I'm also disappointed at how expensive Rock Band 4 was.
Yeah.
I really wanted to play that, but in no
there's,
way.
There's so it's many like tiers of like things. Like my buddy has it right now.
Yep.
He only has the guitars.
Yep.
Right? But he doesn't have but he doesn't have the drum kit.
Yeah.
And like the drum kit's like the most
That's
fun
the
part.
That's the most fun part
of Rock Band.
Yeah. And you had to buy new instruments from everything, and I was just like, you know, I wanted to play it and I was so excited for it, but I can't shell out like almost $400.
That's way too much.
Like that's ridiculous. And
can't pay that much for a video game. That's how much a console costs.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I was very disappointed in that. Game wise, there was a lot of actually this year. There was a lot of games that I wanted to get to and I didn't get to, which I was disappointed in myself about it.
Mm.
For this year, for the first time ever, there were lots of Wii U games that I wanted to play that I didn't get to play any of them. Splatoon, Mario Maker are just to name two. But that's only my fault. That's disappointment of myself, not disappointment in everything else. Other than that, game-wise, I played a lot of really solid games. Like, I played, like I said, a lot of serial games. Played, like, a lot of Telltale this year.
A lot of Telltale this game.
I did. I still haven't finished Tales of the Borderlands, which I've heard fantastic things about. Minecraft, I'm actually enjoying. Way more than I thought I would. And I'm hoping to finish Tales of the Borderlands, but, you know, it's just when you get 200-hour games like The Witcher or, you know, Fallout, things like that get chuffed in the wayside.
All right. Oh, I thought you were going to say something. You're not. You're just pausing. Okay, fine. I think I'm going to go next.
Do it.
And I'm going to tell you, you kind of stole a little bit of my thunder there, but I'm going to go say,
I apologize.
When I look back over the year, there's a lot of games that I played, but I always try to think about which ones stood out for me. And my number five game is one that nobody's mentioned yet, but it's just so beautiful and so magical, and that's Ori and the Blind Forest.
Nice.
That was such a good game, and so
that was a great Metroidvania. Yeah,
yeah it was, yeah. And it was like so beautifully done, and the storyline was so sad but so engaging, and then you know the gameplay was good. And that game was hard too, man. Like I thought it was, you know, when I was playing, I was like, these missions are really difficult to complete. And then I like went online on Twitter and stuff, and everybody was seeming to be the same thing. Like there were very punishing missions to try to finish, but it was a really engaging game, and it was one of those games that, you know, like Child of Light last year, you know, or was that last year or the year before? But that just kind of came out of nowhere, and then you play this game, and it wasn't really much talked about, and then it comes and it kind of just takes you back, and you're like, oh, this game packs a lot of punch and a lot more than you think. So for me, Ori and the Blind Forest is my number five game. My number four, you just mentioned, which I was so pleasantly and happily surprised by, and I had a lot of high hopes for, and that's Splatoon.
Yay!
Splatoon came out. The Wii U really needed to have a couple of titles this year, which really kind of stood out for it and did really well. When we tried out Splatoon at E3 last year, I remember myself and Riley, Riley Little from GameRant.com, who's a big Nintendo guy. We're both like, man, this game seems like it's got like what it takes to be a good game. And it was a whole different take on a shooter. And it was like, you know, spraying ink and battling in arenas and stuff like that. And it was just a really nice take on it, you know, and it was really different, and it was creative, and it had different really good modes in it. And I was just really pleasantly surprised and happy that Nintendo was able to come through with that type of a game. Have you played it, Steve?
Splatoon? Oh, yeah, I own it.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't reinvent the shooter.
No.
But at the same time, it brought back the shooter to what made the shooter fun again to me.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't about like these ridiculous loadouts and perks and like you it, like Call of Duty, like the modern FPS mold is now basically just an RPG, and you get good only if you invest X amount of hours into this.
Yeah.
Splatoon, you know, it just felt like
this
is the game, pick it up. You will get good. You'll get good by your own ability, not because of a ridiculous perk loadout system or anything like that.
Yeah. I thought they did a really, really, really nice job with that.
And I just loved all the like, what am I thinking of? like
the squids,
the artwork that, yeah. that came out of it.
Like
I saw in games people were just drawing on the on the map, not trying to kill each other. It's really interesting that way. The community is like really, really friendly, which I guess it would make sense for a Nintendo game. The community isn't really toxic.
Yeah. And then for the first time, I think maybe ever, I have two Wii U games in my top five.
What?
Yeah, and number three is Mario Maker.
Hey!
Yeah, that game was everything anybody who grew up playing Nintendo wanted it to be.
That was straight Mario.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually, you know, it's number three, but it could easily be a lot higher on my list because it's, you know, when you're a kid and you played, whether it was like the original Mario Brothers, Super Mario 3, which is my favorite, Super Mario World, any of the Mario iterations that came along, every kid thought of like, man, if I could make my own level, what I could make. And to go to your point, Steve, about the community, and then you make this game and you throw it completely into the community's hands and say, it's your world. Make it what you will.
Yeah.
And people came up with brilliant creations, some incredibly insane, hard, impossible to complete creations, beautiful creations. And when
Mario Paint stuff.
Yeah.
In Mario Paint, the big thing in the community, the people putting on YouTube were songs, right? So there are some levels where it's just, you just straight up, they put you on a conveyor belt underneath it, and it's just, you just trigger a huge chain, and they're like singing the Star Wars theme.
Yeah.
And they're singing the Zelda theme. It's like, man, this is so awesome.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, when you let the community take hold, people are unbelievably creative and just do these really rad things with the game. And I just, you know, that game lived up to the hype, lived up to the expectations and more. And the beautiful thing about that game is you can go and start creating, or you can simply buy that game and just start playing levels that people have created.
Yeah, I haven't made a single level.
Yeah.
And all I've done is just download levels. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it's so fun to see like different, because I think a lot of the levels that are in that game are things that Nintendo would never do, mm-hmm. maybe because they feel like it's not, you know, it's not true to the game or whatever. But when you leave it to the community to just make whatever they want to make, they come up with these crazy grandiose ideas and then pull them off, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful. And I just thought, you know, it was so, so well done. And I'm starting to think maybe it shouldn't be number three. I'm talking myself into moving it up on the list. But I'll just leave it at number three right now. Number two for me, and it was a real tricky thing to do, but number two is Rise of the Tomb Raider.
There you go. I was curious to know where that was going to play.
I thought about it for a long time. I really did. Yeah. I thought about it for a long time. And this game, Rise of the Tomb Raider, is... Have you played it, Steve?
I have not played it yet.
Yeah,
it's on my Christmas list, so I'm hoping I get it come Christmas time.
Yeah, but it's fantastic. You know, it's a pickup from the last Tomb Raider, so it's young Lara Croft going back, and it has a lot of the stuff that, you know, people really loved the reboot that they did.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
But you know, there was some knocks against this, and I think this game really kind of filled those gaps that the last one was making. It was gory and violent, but Lara Croft is still a super badass, and there's lots of raiding tombs, and the storyline was really great.
Yep.
And I love this game. I gave it, I think I gave it a 9 out of 10 or something. But it was really just terrifically done. And for me, it was actually, I didn't play the reboot. I just kind of was given this game because, you know, that we got sent a code, and I was like, okay, well, I'll play it. And, you know, I loved it. And my favorite part of this game, more than anything, is that it spawned our Nathan Drake and Lara Croft debate, which if you haven't heard, either go back to that podcast.
It's on YouTube, actually.
It's on YouTube.
Or go to YouTube. If you go to @GotGame590 or GotGame590 on YouTube, or @GotGame590 on Twitter, you can find a link to it where myself, Steve, Christine, Patrick, and Colin Robertson were in here, and we were debating what should happen between Nathan Drake and Lara Croft. Should they either A, be some sort of family members, maybe long lost cousins or siblings, excuse me, or should they be in some sort of relationship, some sexual tension, some sort of relationship? And we took it to a really weird place.
Yep.
We took it to a really weird place.
No, it's no longer weird. We took it to the logical conclusion now.
I agree. Yeah, well, weird can be logical.
Yeah.
And that was easily one of my absolute favorite highlights of the entire year on this show, is that we just randomly, and it all started, Christine, because you put it up as a Twitter poll.
Yep.
What should people do? What should Lara Croft and Nathan Drake do? And then we had this roundtable discussion here, and we talked about it, and... I highly recommend you go on YouTube and just find that discussion that we had. Got Game 590 on YouTube, and I think we had a wonderful outcome. But Rise of the Tomb Raider is my number two. Nice. My number one. I don't know if, like, I mean, do I even need to say it?
Should I just start singing the theme song?
Na 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 leader.
Yeah. And I know it's look, I know it's very predictable for me to say that Batman Arkham Knight is my favorite game of the year, but it really is my favorite game of the year though. Is it the best game of the year?
Probably not. Your opinion. You can't change what you like, right?
Yeah. It's like they say, you don't pick who you love, man. You just do.
And you love a Batman. Yeah,
and I love a Batman. But to be fair, this game is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, they introduced the drivable Batmobile, and it totally changed the scope of the game. Because in Arkham Asylum, in Arkham City, and in even Arkham Origins, that didn't exist. And then they put in the drivable Batmobile. And maybe there was too much of a game in it. Too much of it in the game was too much of the central focus of the game. But it was just so cool to go through and do tank battles and have the Batmobile figure in so... They worked it into the storyline and the plot so well. And then, you know, the actual story of the game was really good. And, you know, with the Arkham Knight and Gotham has been emptied out and it's the entire world now. And it's an open world game. And there was so much more to it. And it just filled all the things that I wanted in a Batman game. You know, I didn't think it could get better than City, but they did. City was fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. But Arkham Knight really kind of stepped it up to the next level. They added in all this stuff that I really appreciated. And I was just so happy with it, you know. And it's interesting. We talked about you can't pick who you love. But when you love something that much, you're always afraid that they're going to kind of crap out.
Of course.
And they're not going to do as good a job. And especially Rocksteady, who nailed it on Asylum, then upped it with City. And then you're like, okay, how much better can they make this? And then you start playing the game, you're like, oh, that much better. That's good.
Yeah.
And so I know it's the predictable answer for me to say that Arkham Knight is my favorite, but it is. It's my favorite game of the year. I'm sorry. They just hit on every level that I wanted, and I loved it so much. And I still go back and play it, and, you know... I'm terrible at Riddler trophies because I hate them so much.
You'll never get
Riddler
the true
trophies
ending.
Are the best part of the game.
God. They're the bane.
I love them.
To use a Batman
reference,
they are the bane of my existence.
Hey.
And they drive me crazy. And I know Chris DeRosa, who works here in our imaging department, has gone 100% in that game. And have you as well?
I've done 100% in like the three previous games. Yeah, I even made it through Arkham Origins with all its bugs to get 100%.
Wow,
man.
Yeah, see, I don't have patience to try to get to 100% in the game. Cause some of the Riddler trophies are just like, man.
So like I don't have Arkham Knight yet, but like that is like very high up on my to get list, and I'll get 100% for it. Like I've done it for every other
so
game.
So cocky, Steve.
That's the only way you get the true
cocky
ending, apparently.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that when you finish it,
talk into the microphone.
Yeah, sorry. I just interrupted. There's something wrong with the computer. When you finish it, if you don't get 100%, you got one ending.
Yeah.
And then if you finish with 100%, you got what was the true ending. And I remember that was a big kind of bone of contention with people. It was like, what do you mean? What do you mean it's different? But, I mean, if you really are desperate for it, you can go to YouTube and see the ending.
Of course.
Or just do it.
Or do it.
Well, that's like in The Witcher. The Witcher has like 36 endings. It's like, I'll just pick one.
It's like
and
heavy rain.
That'll be.
No, you got to go through all the endings.
All 36?
You know, that's a very like Japanese RPG like convention to do. Like in Chrono Trigger.
All right, that's my list. Predictable and unpredictable as it was.
Yeah.
I don't think.
What was your disappointment?
Yeah,
moment?
I'm trying to think. You know, I don't.
He's
think
too
I
nice.
Really,
he's too nice.
I don't really think I had a game that really let me down this year. Yeah. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. I was pleasantly surprised by Transformers Devastation.
Yeah, that's
which was
true.
A super
you were.
Fun,
well, how could you? How could you not? I mean, robots punching robot action.
Yeah, and it was very like harken back to the '80s cartoon, which was fun and had all the crazy like '80s metal music in it. And
yeah.
I don't know that. Excuse me.
Well, was there a game from last year then that you continued playing and then you kind of came back and you're like, eh.
Mm, Not really. I don't think so. I'm more of a kind of person who just leaves games behind once I'm done with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Moment, you're heartless.
I don't turn around and go back. I leave them behind in the battlefield and just keep moving forward. Probably my biggest disappointment of this year is that I wasn't able to say Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege on the air.
There you go. You've nailed it the last two shows.
Two times now.
I've been drilling it since.
Oh, and last week's show, say again.
Yeah, but...
Left, right, and center.
That was the most hilarious but saddest moment for me this year.
That was great.
All right, Steve-O, what's in your top five?
I don't really have an order for my top five. It's too difficult for me to rank them.
It's like picking your favorite children.
So, which
to all the parents out there, I don't have kids, but let's be honest, we all know you have your favorites.
Sure.
You will never admit it, but we know.
I'll just list the five, right? So I'll start off with what Patrick was saying. Bloodborne's in my top five.
Nice,
right on.
This game, like I love the Souls series. And I just loved how this game made me, first of all, adapt from what I was used to in the Souls series. Because usually when I play Souls, I get a big tank, mm-hmm. get my big shield, get my big sword, and I just kind of cautiously make my way through things,
yep.
right? And either that or I just run through all the mobs because I know they won't follow me. This game made me completely change all of that because when I was trying to run through mobs, I turn around, I get caught in a little like a little alleyway, like dead end. I turn around, it's like, oh, you're all here. Well then, I guess I got to change up what I do. And then I approached combat originally with me trying to be really, really cautious. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, all right, I need to wait for my perfect parry timing. And I realized there isn't really parrying in the game, so then I had to kind of like, all right, let's just wait this guy out. Oh god, he's coming towards me. So then that made me change to a more aggressive style, like going right in, and that kind of made me go back to thinking when I played fighting games, because like I'm a very, very aggressive player, so it made me think about my Twitch skills, and just completely reinvent how I play the Souls series now. And then the boss fights were great. Just like it just completely rewarded player skill. So by the end of the game, I just felt like a complete badass. Yeah. It's like, oh man, my character is awesome. I am so good at this game right now. Like I'm just one-shotting things. Like I am awesome. Then you get to a boss. Like, why would you do that to me? Right?
I'm nothing.
Right. So like the game builds you up, breaks you down, and then it builds you back up again. I haven't tried the old Hunters DLC yet, mm-hmm. but I'm probably just gonna make a brand new character just to go and do it.
There you go.
So yeah, Bloodborne very high up on the list.
Okay.
Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Incredible. Mario Maker is definitely in my top five
for sure.
I mean, like I love platformers. I love Mario. And like this is everything I wanted. I wanted to be able to make custom Mario. I wanted to play custom Mario levels, not really make them because I don't have that kind of mind. I'm mm-hmm. not creative enough, but I like playing them. And so I remember Little Big Planet, right?
Yeah.
I was incredibly disappointed with that, not with like the level designs that people were coming up with, but just how imprecise the platforming was. It just drove me nuts,
yeah.
right? So like. To have that, like that kind of level creation, but with Mario, with tight Mario controls, was like pretty much a match made in heaven for me as a platformer fan. It was just like everything, and it's infinite gameplay because you can. My favorite thing is just the random levels. You know, the I can think it's the 10 or 15 lives to complete 10 levels at a certain difficulty scale, right? And that to me was my absolute favorite thing of it.
For sure.
I think the only kind of downfall of it, this didn't really apply to me because I didn't really do much of the customization. But when they locked the level tools, like you had to first play the game until to unlock the level tools, and then Nintendo smartened up and said, actually, no, we don't really need to do that. Let's just throw out the full kitchen sink to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Next one on the list is this is pretty obvious. Well, pretty obvious. 2K.
Yeah.
Like
WWE 2K.
NBA 2K16. Like
it's our first sports game.
Yeah.
Like I said in the review, I think this is the best sports game of the year. I mean, I played Madden, I played NHL, I played MLB, and I like all. I'm a massive sports fan. I work at Sportsnet.
Yeah.
Right. But like 2K, this was like the best NBA 2K. in quite a while. Like I felt like the brand new defensive, like brand new defensive controls were really on point. I felt that I just felt like the atmosphere in the arena was on point. The customization, like you can know how you're saying how people just go crazy in Fallout,
yeah,
just like making shelters. There's that level of like sub community within 2K, just people making their own courts, right?
Yeah, really?
Like people make their own custom designs that they import in because it's also on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
So people have made people made the Space Jam court. People have done stuff specifically for like their hobbies. Like I've seen stuff for like specific sci-fi or anime franchises.
Cool.
For their courts because they love basketball and they love this other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And then online will always be a work in progress for any sports game.
Yep.
Like it is what it is. Like you're never going to get a completely perfect online experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still fun.
Yeah.
Right? And the story mode and the association, while it wasn't perfect,
mm-hmm.
it was still interesting. It was interesting enough at least to kind of get you through that rookie season and kind of push you along the way as you go through my player. I felt like the franchise mode tools were pretty interesting, where I can I felt like the team chemistry stuff was played a bigger part of it, and I thought that was really cool because obviously in any organization, in any team, you kind of want to be able to get along with each other.
Yeah, it's important.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's 2K number 3. Number 4, I'd have to say it would be Metal Gear.
Nice. I had a feeling that was going to show up.
Yeah. Metal Gear 5 was this may be my favorite game of the year. Like I keep going back to it, mm-hmm. but like I love the Metal Gear series. Like I've played pretty much every single one, including the ones on the PSP.
Yeah.
And without spoiling anything, just fantastic story of like the story of Big Boss become kind of as Big Boss was something that like I think fans have always wanted to see. Like I've always wanted to see the stealth mechanics were cool. Like because a lot of the stealth mechanics were taken in daytime, so you had to figure out how you're supposed to hide and sneak around things in daytime.
Mm-hmm.
Or like kind of what they did in Metal Gear 4, where like you just get a machine gun, just rip through everything, which is also very fun.
That's right.
It just like to me that like a Metal Gear, like unless you're going for a really really super long role playing game, this is like your ideal single player experience.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna take you about 10 to 12 hours. Granted, you're sitting there watching cutscenes for a lot of it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's a Metal Gear game, but it's just like a perfect. It's like a perfect single player experience because like it wraps everything up really nicely, and I guess if you're a little unfamiliar with the lore, you may have some difficulties getting it. But at the same time, this is kind of in the timeline. This is early enough in the timeline that you don't really need to understand a ton of stuff that's going on.
Okay.
You can just play the game, have a great time.
Nice.
And then I guess my fifth one. It would be I guess it would be Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
All right.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat X or
yeah,
10
MKX. Like as you guys know, like I'm a big fighting game fan. I'm a big fan of the fighting game community.
Yep.
And this game was it was a new game. Something that the community really needs. It expanded upon what Mortal Kombat 9 did,
mm-hmm.
with its mechanics. It added more new characters. It added there was sort of greater character balance. I thought it was really cool because when people play fighting games, like people get attached to characters, right? Like there are people who are character specialists.
Yeah.
But sometimes, oftentimes, like those characters they may pick aren't like the strongest characters, right? Like
Sub-Zero.
they aren't like a top tier character,
mm-hmm.
but you may still stick with that character because you like him or her so much. But then you would enter a tournament, you will probably just get stomped by people who are playing top tier characters or are counter picking you with characters that can just beat that character, right? And then you kind of feel stuck. So what was interesting, what MKX did is that they introduced for every character has three play styles, mm-hmm. right? So you can still choose that character, but then like between the three styles you have, does the styles like change the properties of the character's moves? Like it changes their normals, they get new special attacks, so it completely changes the character.
Yep.
So you essentially, for that one character that you pick, like let's say Scorpion, you have three characters for the price of one. And so by inherently doing that, it also expanded the roster mm-hmm. just greatly. So you have a huge character variety in the game. And I thought that was really interesting. I thought that was really smart. And then, of course, the single-player storyline.
I was going to say, what did you think of the single-player storyline?
I mean, every fighting game storyline, I think, is awful. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Injustice Gods Among Us, their storyline was great.
But at the same time, I mostly play fighting games because I enjoy the competition of them. But there's a lot of people that don't like that, right? So I think there's a lot of value in having a single player storyline to let everyone try out the characters,
yeah.
and become attached to like the new characters, right? Because like most people only know Liu Kang, Scorpion, and Sub-Zero, right? So let's learn about this new girl. Devora, she has bees. That's kind of weird.
Bees are weird.
Yeah. So I guess that's my top five. I do have other honorable mentions.
Let's hear it.
Splatoon is an honorable mention.
Nice.
Right.
I played that quite a bit. I'm playing through this Japanese role playing game right now, Tales of Zestiria. Because I'm a massive fan of the Tales series. You know what? Even though it was a disappointment, I'll still put Battlefront on there.
Simultaneously a disappointment and an honorable mention.
Because I still come back to it.
Yeah.
Like I still going back to play it. And so that means it's doing something right. There is something inherently fun about it.
Yeah.
So if there's something fun about it, then I'll go back to it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes games don't need to be fantastic to be enjoyable. And sometimes their lack of fantasticness is what you enjoy about them.
And full disclosure, like I have not played anything of Fallout. So that's why like I have zero opinion of Fallout, so I can't. I haven't played it, so I can't really talk about it.
No, fair enough. So that's good. It's funny, you know, Steve and I both have Warner Brothers games as our number one, and I was saying to Patrick before we started, and you, what a fantastic year Warner Brothers had.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, I can't remember a year where their lineup was this good, even though they had the PC problems, but like LEGO Dimensions?
LEGO Dimensions is a great game.
Like, especially, I mean, if you bring in Shadow of Mordor, which was the end of last year coming in this year, like, Warner Brothers had a fantastic year. Even Lego Jurassic World was okay. Like, when was the last time Warner Brothers had a lineup that this solid?
Yeah, they had a great year. They had a really, really great year putting out some good games.
Yeah.
So. Honorable mention to Amiibos, by the way.
No, Amiibos.
We need to have our intervention, man. It's not cool. I'm worried about you. I feel like you're working at Sportsnet just to support your Amiibo problem.
It's highly possible.
Yeah.
I guess one more honorable mention would be the Heavensward. Like Final Fantasy XIV Heavensward expansion.
Yeah.
I think Final Fantasy XIV is the best MMO on the market. If you're playing another MMO, I don't know why, because this is the best one. And Heavensward just added so much. It's just awesome.
You don't play like Dota or anything, do you?
I mean, I play on occasion. I'm not a huge fan of that MOBA genre, but like I like Dota more than I like League, and I think the Blizzard MOBA, Heroes of the Storm, is absolute trash. Like,
wow.
I think that game is horrendous.
Steve, telling it like it is.
That's right. Take that, Blizzard.
I'm going to look back at the year and just talk about a couple of things. One of my other highlights of the year before Brian left the show was that we found out... I felt like this year we peeled back the layer of the onions that is Brian Calhoun a little bit more. Like when he told us that he races drones.
The drone
racing.
And we
were just like... What?
I didn't see that coming.
And then we found out that Brian is part of this, like, drone racing league, and he built them from scratch, and we're like, oh my god, this is like a world of Brian Calhoun that we didn't know about.
Didn't see it
so
coming.
That was cool. There's a lot of fun stuff that happened this year, and we did a lot of fun stuff, and I'm just excited about the show and the direction that we're going and what we've done with it over the last four months or so when we switched over to the podcast only format. And it's been fun. Our listeners have been really interactive and chirping up over the last 6 months or so, and getting really involved with the show. And hopefully we get to give away more stuff next year. And it's been a fun year. It's been a fun 2015.
Just quickly, what are you looking forward to? What games or just this, what in within games are you looking forward to in 2016?
Okay, so we're going to probably do that next week more so. But I mean, look. What am I looking forward to next year? You both know the answer to that. That's
Batman.
Obviously. Batman game. Come on.
Finally becoming Batman?
No. I mean, I cannot wait for Uncharted 4 to come. Like, please, God, hurry up. Hurry up already. Get here
so he can stop talking about it.
I kind of said that just to get you worked up like this, by the way.
You know what the thing is? I'll tell you. When The Force Awakens came out, I was...
Well, hey, guys, watch it. Watch The Force Awakens.
I've seen it.
So I hadn't. You might have seen it by the time this episode comes out.
I was going to say, by the time the show airs,
by the time this episode comes out, you've probably seen it. But I went spoiler free, and I didn't watch like any trailers or any commercials. This is like the most in the dark I've ever been about a movie, because even like with the last trilogy, even if you didn't watch anything, you still knew that the series was about like young Anakin and becoming Darth Vader, and you knew by the end he would be Vader, and all this, he would have Luke and Leia, and all this stuff would have happened. But with this one, I was completely in the dark. But like the last 3 days before I saw it was so stressful for me, because every TV station, every radio station, every time you open Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Google, like somebody was talking about it. Yeah. And so I went into like complete...
Even we were talking about it on Sportsnet.
That's what I'm saying. So I went into like complete radio and TV silence, and by the time I finally got to see the movie, I just remember feeling like I just wanted to watch it more than anything, just to get it over with.
Yeah.
Just to get it over with so I can finally like de-stress and turn on my TV and listen to my radio. And that's how I feel about Uncharted right now. I'm excited about it and I desperately want to play it, but I'm so like anxious. I just want to get it so I can finally just get it over with and play it. That's where I'm at with that game.
Okay.
I can see that. I don't know if there's actually a game specific that I'm super excited for next year, with the exception of maybe Quantum Break, but I'm really not excited about that. It's one of those games that, like I said when we talked about it a few weeks ago, I just want it to come out because I've been hearing about it for like 4 years now. It's like, just come out. One of the things I'm actually really curious about is to see, especially at E3 this year and the cons coming up to E3, is how many people are going to be on board hardcore with VR.
Oh, because true. PlayStation VR, right? Or even Oculus.
Yeah,
right?
Like it's coming very soon. And, you know, Ubisoft has just announced, announced at the start of this month that they have a game coming that's Eagle Vision, I think it's called, or Eagle something. And it's basically the introduction to every Assassin's Creed game where you see the eagle soaring, except that you actually get to play as the eagle. And so I'm curious to see, now that the VR systems have been out there, what's actually going to come with it? I mean, we've seen a lot of demos from PlayStation.
Psychonauts 2 coming to VR or something like that, apparently.
Yeah, like so many different things are in the works or in the talking about. So I'm curious to know at E3, how much of it will be about VR? I mean, and then how much of it will be new IPs coming out? I'm curious to see.
I'd love to see the direction of sports games and VR.
That
would be like next level mind blowing.
It could be fascinating, especially to see even what if Facebook has anything to do with Oculus stuff and really how much of that gets pushed through this year.
That is going to be the big story of 2016 is VR technology and how
VR
it's received
FaceTime.
In the market.
VR FaceTime. Hello.
Yeah, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
There are three games I'm looking forward to. One is Street Fighter V.
Yep.
Street Fighter V, I'm so excited about this. I wasn't a huge fan of 4, but Street Fighter V looks like it's harkening back to like my heyday in the arcade, basically. It looks like it's harkening back to the Alpha series. And I love Street Fighter Alpha 2, I love Street Fighter Alpha 3, and I love ST, Super Turbo. These are my favorite Street Fighter games of all time. It's looking like it's harkening back to that with more emphasis on spacing, more emphasis on footsies. and less about like the the vortex knockdown set play stuff that we saw in Street Fighter 4.
Mm-hmm.
So Street Fighter 5, I'm all on board with this. Not to mention the characters, like Karen's coming back, Charlie's back. Yeah, I'm just really really excited about this game.
Mm.
The next one is as you guys know, like I love Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
So Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
I bought Final Fantasy Type Zero HD just to play the demo, just to play the Final Fantasy 15 demo.
Really?
And
that's not surprising. People are going bananas.
And I am very very excited about the direction of the game. It feels a little more like an action RPG. It kind of had it felt like a Dragon Age style exploration mm-hmm. into it. And hell, I just want to get in that car and drive, you know, just go off exploring whatever this weird world is. Like yeah. It looks like it's a little more modernized because you're in the car. But in the trailer, you see a giant monster in the background. So I just mm-hmm. want to drive around. It's like, oh, what's that? Let's go, boys! Right, like it's just and it's Final Fantasy. Like I can't not love this franchise for all the faults it's gone through over the years. I just absolutely adore Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in that same vein, I'm also excited about Kingdom Hearts.
Yep.
Oh yeah, of course.
Kingdom Hearts 3. I love Disney. I love Final Fantasy. So this melding of the two, this is a series I've always really really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea about the storyline. Not that you can really decipher the story of Kingdom Hearts in the first place. But I mean, like I really like the stuff they show in that trailer, like with the crazy summons. It looks like they're like the rides in Disneyland or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sora the Keyblade turns into a gun now. I'm just really really curious about it. It looks so colorful. And it looks so beautiful. And that looks truly. Truly, like the PS4 and the Xbox One is beginning to reach its maturity
mm-hmm.
in terms of like what it can do graphically, like similarly to what The Witcher was.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, it'll be 3 years old. The both systems will be 3 years old by the end of next year, and
isn't that crazy?
We've definitely, yeah, I know. We've definitely passed the honeymoon phase of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the games are starting to show.
Yeah,
really, really show.
Like in any console cycle, the best stuff comes at the end of the console cycle.
I know,
right?
That's why so many good Wii U stuff is coming.
Yeah.
I wanted to recommend so many Wii U things this year, but then I was like, well, but the NX is just around the corner.
But
that's why it's a good time to get the Wii U, though.
Yeah, but that's why you do recommend it, because like the best stuff, is at the end of the life cycle.
Yeah.
Like developers have figured out how to maximize this specific machine, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think we'll finally get more looks at the NX this year? We'll get like an actual...
Hopefully.
Because Zelda's supposed to be, you know...
E3 this year is going to be very interesting.
It will be. I hope it's very exciting. I mean, it's going to be hard to, you know, beat, for me, the Bethesda press conference from last year. But yeah, it'll be super curious to see how well sanitized all of the VR headsets are, and what's happening.
And everyone's got to wear hairnets.
That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
Or it'll be 3D, E3, the year of lice.
All right, 2015 done?
I think so. You know, it was a good year. I want to thank you boys again for having me on the loveliness of the show.
Thank you for working hard this year.
Yeah, you know, it's been a pleasure. This year, I have to say, I really did, on a personal level, I really did take this on as a bit of a project in the mm-hmm. last couple months because,
yeah, for sure.
You know, I didn't want... I was concerned, I would have to say. I was concerned when we were pulled off the air and we were shifted to podcast form. I tried to be as optimistic as I could, but a part of me was a little worried. And
mm-hmm.
But then a part of me also just took it as a challenge. It was like, let's see what's out there. Let's not look at this as an end of something, but a beginning. I know that's so cliche, but you know, let's kind of take it and ride and see where we can go. And I'm so happy that our listeners have stayed loyal and that they've still listened to the show. They still comment on Twitter. They still comment on Facebook. You know, that we haven't really, you know, nobody kind of gave up on us when
yeah,
we got
you know,
shifted down.
I think we took it and as a chance to kind of rebrand in a way and try new things. And I remember even when it happened, I talked to some of the upper management at the Fan. They were like, look, man, this is your chance to just make the show into what you really want. The restraints of like time and segments and all that stuff is gone. And now you can just do whatever you want with it. And so it's been kind of fun, I think. It's been really fun to work in more pop culture and go off on tangents and not worry that, oh, we only have 14 minutes this segment, so we better get, you know. So it's been really fun. And the biggest thank you obviously goes out to our listeners, you know, who not only listen to the show on a weekly basis, but are interactive with us on Twitter and our Facebook page and our Instagram page and everything. So kudos to you, listeners. Thanks for sticking with us. And we look forward to 2016.
Yeah. When I first started listening to this show, like, I was only listening to it as in the on-demand, like version on the Fan 590 website, actually. So, like, I think the podcast format works very, very well. Like, when I'm unable to make it on here, like, I'm always listening to the show.
Hey, so. There's our one listener.
Yeah,
hey,
Steve.
I also want to thank all the people who came on the show this year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've always been super, super thankful to have people, especially sometimes very last minute, you know, take time out of their day. Before we recorded this, before we started recording on Saturday morning, we would kind of be sporadic about things. And people were always really nice to pick up the phone, talk to us for a couple of minutes, even from like across the country. They would call us and say, all right, well, let's talk about this. You know, and then the guests who've been able to join us in studio this year, it's been fantastic. You know, there's so many to mention, but it's humbling to see that people actually like our show and want to come up. And I also want to say hi to Riley Little's mother, Terry Little, because I joked that I would say hey because she was listening to our show.
Aww.
So Terry Little, thank you for listening.
You've done a wonderful job raising your son. And Riley's all right, too.
Yeah, the other son.
I know you have other
sons.
Riley's all right.
Riley's okay.
Yeah, we tolerate him. He's okay.
I'm excited to see where the show's going to go. I think that we're ending on a relatively good note, and I think that's awesome.
To 2016!
Woohoo!
Yeah! So, for Patrick Luciani, Christine Chubb, Steve Long, my name is Mohamed Qureshi. You have yourself a happy, safe new year, and we will see you next year. Goodbye.